You're listening to a sermon preached at Sojourn North.
Well, peace be with you. I want to welcome you to this Easter gathering. And just like James did at the beginning, I'm going to say he is risen in a second. You'll say he is risen indeed. You ready for this? All right. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. So we come celebrating that here today. And as we look at the resurrection story, I was thinking about the story of this place. I spend a lot of time in this place and thinking about the rich history of North Oldham Baptist and Christ Church at Goshen. And some of you are familiar with the story, some of you aren't, but last year at this time, around March, I preached a sermon here because Pastor Rob, who's still here, is the executive director of Cross Ministries. He had been pursuing a possible partnership for 2 years with Sojourn Church. And after him pursuing for 2 years, it finally came to be. And then we were moving forward. I preached a sermon here, and then COVID hit strong. And the very next Sunday, everything shut down. And even if you remember last Easter, you had to watch online. And so we're back here now, Easter Sunday 2021. And we're rejoicing with what God's doing. Very little has gone as planned, and that's really like a lot of life. But if you look around here, I always underestimate the amount of people who are coming to worship. I did a quick count, and don't count to check me on this, but there's like 130 people in here, like 30 kids back there. It's praise God. And I know several families are watching still online, waiting for their vaccination shots to come forward. So we are so thankful for what God's doing. It's His grace, and I'm really thankful for y'all. It's Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. And I was imagining a parable that I'd share sometimes. And I kind of wrote it out in some more detail, thinking about how it applies to us here today. But the parable kind of goes like this. It's just a made-up story, but there's a child in war-torn Africa. His parents are killed, and he's moved to an orphanage. And this orphanage is not the greatest orphanage in the world. There's actually not much clean water, and so there's a lot of risk for his health and the other kids there. But then one day, a married couple comes, and they see this child, and their heart is just broken and filled with love. And so they say, "We want to adopt this child." And they go through this long process, spending a lot of money coming back again and again, going through all these things. And then finally, the child is adopted, and they're able to bring it home. And so this little boy is in a new home where there's always food in the refrigerator. There's a trampoline in the backyard with swings. There's brothers and sisters. There's good schools. There's love from parents. And so as the child grows, he receives this love. But what the mom and dad notice is that the child starts to withdraw a little bit. And one day they throw this huge neighborhood party, and everyone's just having an amazing time. And they're like, "Where's our son?" And so the dad goes upstairs and notices his son sitting on the bed, and he's got this thing that he pulled off the wall, and he's just looking at it. And the dad goes, What are you doing? And the son says, "Well, I'm studying my adoption certificate." So, "Well, why are you doing that?" "Because it was the most important day in my life." And the dad says, "Absolutely. That is, let me remind you why we did this, because of our love for you. But guess what? We adopted you not so that you just sit here and stare at the certificate every day. We adopted you so you would come and have life. Come out to the party. Come out because people are missing you. Come out and have some good food. Come out and laugh. Come out and receive hugs. Come out and do life with us, because everything we have is yours. And we want you to flourish, so come." And the reason I tell that parable is because I think so much in so many people's lives, I see it in my own life, is that we get so focused on different things, doctrines and truths that are eternally important, so important. And we are saved from sin, and we celebrate that here today. But we're not just saved from, we're saved to. We're saved from sin, praise be to God. And we're saved to life with God here and now and forevermore. And that's the life we do. And so Here at Sojourn North, what we do is we gather on Sundays. We have some Sojourn kids. We have some youth ministry that the Johnsons lead, which is going amazing. We have some community groups that are opened up and some that will continue to open up in the months ahead. But we're going to take a slow pace and just say, how can we get to know each other? And on April 25th, weather permitting, we're going to have, for the first time in a year, a big kind of hangout after here, after the Sunday service. We're going to have food for you, hopefully get an ice cream truck and some other things. We're working on that. But we want to start, as the summer hits, finally getting to know each other face to face, and or maybe eye to eye if we still have masks on. But we'll be in open air. And we really want to start promoting, because that was our heartbeat from the very beginning, that we could do life together, in relationship together. And it's been hindered, but it's going to make it all the more sweeter as we move forward. For all eternity, we will celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, because even in Revelation 5, it says this: "Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels and living creatures and elders encircling the throne, and their number was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" So we come here celebrating, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is Jesus who was raised from the dead. We are saved from sin, and we're saved to life. And so as we rehearse the story again and again, even this morning, I'd invite you to, if you're able, to stand for the reading of God's word. As we look at the resurrection story, we're looking at Matthew 27, 62 through Matthew 28, 10, and we'll tack on the last four verses at the end. This is God's word. "The next day, that is, after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first.' Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can.' So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' This is the word of the Lord." You may be seated. So this morning, I just have 2 points. The first one is come and see. Come and see. And then the second one is go and tell. Come and see. Go and tell. And so the first point, come and see. It's interesting. Like in the sixth grade, I literally read through the entire Bible. I had this tiny little Bible my mom gave me. The words, I can't even read them anymore because of my 46-year-old eyes. But I still have the Bible. But I read through it, and I've read through this story over and over and over again. But like the beauty of Scripture, something caught my imagination this week that never has caught my imagination. And it was the angel of the Lord, God's messenger. And I was thinking about this in my holy imagination. I can't say for sure exactly how this looked, but I want you just to imagine with me. Do you think the angel was excited that Jesus had been raised from the dead? I would say absolutely yes. The angels who proclaimed at his birth, look at what's happened. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to men. It says in Job 38 that even the angels were rejoicing over creation that took place. So I was just imagining the excitement of the angel of the Lord. He comes down in this power. And do you think the angel was filled with love for these women? I would say absolutely. He's a messenger of God. He's pumped up and excited. And I want to read again, and I want to pause at a few points, verses 5-7. But think about this. Think about if sometimes it's so dry when we read words on a page. But if we can hear them read and think about how much love and excitement this angel had because he's a messenger of the Lord. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he's risen. He said he would rise, and he's risen. And then I love this part as I was thinking about this way. He says, the angel says, come here, see where he lay. Come on in, ladies. Come on. Look, Jesus was here. He's not here anymore. And the excitement of what this has done and what will mean for all eternity. I was even thinking this week about the angel coming down. The earthquake takes place. He's white as lightning, white as snow, whiter than snow. And so the stone moves, the power of the angel. He rolled the stone back. Why? Did he roll the stone back to release Jesus? No, Jesus is already resurrected. He rolls the stone back so that the ladies can go in there and see that Jesus isn't there. So Peter and John can run and see Jesus isn't here. And this is the beauty of the gospel and the love that God has for us. His heart was just, come on and see. And I think it is such a beautiful thing. And this gets to the authenticity of Scripture. And I've got so many books in my office. Some are thin, some are huge, about the apologetics, the authenticity of the resurrection, the historicity of it. And that if the disciples were writing just like anyone else, they would have been, if it was made up, they would have said, we found Jesus. Because it'd be shameful for them to say, oh, the ladies had enough courage to go to the tomb and we're hiding. But women who were second-class citizens then, their witness was not appreciated or even asked for. They were the ones that see Jesus first. They see the angel. And they go and proclaim. So we come and see all that takes place. And we see in this passage, earthly power versus God's power. And a lot of times we like to say, are you trusting in your muscles or God's muscles? Because I could tell you how much I can bench press. It's not that much anymore. I can tell you how much of an athlete I used to be and how my vertical leap is 2 inches now. But it's like our bodies wear down. Am I trusting in my own muscles or God's? What's God's resume versus my resume? Oh, he just created everything. Not a big deal. He just raises people from the dead. He just defeats Satan, sin, and death. No big deal. Of course, I'm being sarcastic here. Of course, he is so powerful, so loving, so good, so beautiful, so true. This is our God. And so when we see earthly power, we see the religious leaders, they're backed with their own guard, probably the temple guard. As Pilate was saying, hey, you've got your own guard. Go take care of it. But these are trained soldiers or what you would consider temple policemen. They're guarding the tomb, and then the tomb is sealed with a Roman seal. And if you break that Roman seal, it's execution. Execution. You're rounded up and you're executed, crucified. And so this is all the earthly power there is. And it's interesting, as even reading this week, the irony, the religious leaders were looking at Jesus on the cross and they said, if you come down, we'll serve you, we'll believe in you. And here it is, Jesus has been raised from the tomb, raised from the dead. Do they believe? No. And it's like that in our world today. Some believe, some don't. earthly power came and they had to make an excuse. And this is verses 11 and following. It says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave them a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread throughout the Jews to this day, as Matthew writes. And once again, in apologetics literature, what we see, like that's the best the religious leaders have. We're just going to make up this story. But if it really had been the disciples who came and stole the body away, they would have been rounded up and killed. If the soldiers were at the tomb and they would have fallen asleep on the job, they would have been severely punished, possibly killed. And so it's just continuing this story. And in our day and age, we have so many different things. And I read atheistic philosophers, whether it's Christopher Hitchens, Bertrand Russell, and some of their arguments I can track with and just say, that's a good argument, but there's a better argument. Some of them I just think, oh, that's not a good argument at all. It's not logically keeping with the sequence of what you're saying. But we have proof that Jesus has been raised from the dead. So we see earthly power, the best they have, but we see God's power. And it's just a tiny little morsel of all God's power. And there are four distinctive features in Matthew. The first one's the earthquake. And the earthquake is associated with the angel coming down and moving the stone. The angel rolls the stone away and is just chilling there. The effect on the guards that they were so afraid, they were like dead men. So they're just freaking out because of this movement. And then the last thing that's unique, and it may be in John 20 as well, the same story, but the women meet Jesus. And totally my imagination. You ready for this? Totally my imagination. I wondered if the angel says all these things, and then he says, go quickly to the disciples. Ready for my imagination? This isn't in the Bible. But I wonder if Jesus is so fired up, so filled with love, he's like, I'm going to appear to the ladies right now. Boom. I'm risen. Even like we read one of the other gospel accounts is that the women touched him. He said, you got anything to eat? Look at this. I'm not a spirit. I'm risen. Here I am. And this is Jesus' heart for the ragamuffin. Jesus' heart for the former prostitute, for the tax collectors, for those who are down and out. He gets excited about coming to us and embracing us. How often do we see Jesus like that? That's definitely not my default mode. It takes a lot to get to that point, to sit back and imagine. And usually I have to experience that through another person, through a physical reception of who I am, through a physical embrace, and someone telling me this truth as I tell it to them. We see great power here. And so my question is, as we think through the resurrection story, when have you seen the power of God in your life? When have you seen the power of God in your life? In small or big ways? And my second question is this, where do you need to see resurrection power in your life right now? It has been a hard year. It's been a hard year. For some of us, I'd like to say it's been a hard life. Hard life. I may look like I'm standing upright, everything's okay right now, but if you were to look at some of our souls, it looks like it's just been beaten over and over and over again. Bruised and bloody, just barely getting up, saying, Lord, can I make it? Can I make it today? Where do you need to see resurrection power in your life? Where do you have doubts? Doubts are okay. Like Amy Carmichael, the famous missionary, said, it's not the problem that we have doubts, but it's where we take our doubts. Do we take them to the Lord and to God's community, or do we just sit here with our doubts? Are you bitter about something? I understand. I've had the cancer of bitterness rage in my soul, and I'm like, God, please take this away, and it takes time and the love of others and just continue to process through things. Where do you need resurrection power in your life? Because he's alive. In the final scene we see here is in Jerusalem where the religious leaders are telling lies. They're setting up the story. But Jesus said, hey, we're going to Galilee. And it's interesting going from Jerusalem where Jesus is rejected and killed, and he goes back to Galilee. And most believe it's possibly to say, this is where everything started. It's not going to be in Jerusalem. It's going to be here. It's going to be with the ragamuffins. It's not going to be with the religious elite. It's going to be with those who know me and depend on God. And if we look at the end of Matthew and then we go all the way back to Matthew 4, Matthew quotes from Isaiah and he says this, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And this is the gospel. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Last week we talked about so much darkness in our world, but Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. So we come and see, and then we go and tell. Next week we'll hit on the Great Commission, so we'll really dive into what this looks like. But I want to look at the reactions and the declarations of the people in this story, because they differ. The angel, once again, I love it. I'm being repetitive here, but it's what really affected me this week, where he's saying, don't be afraid. Can you hear God saying that to you? Don't be afraid. An angel saying to the ladies, I know what you seek. Can you hear Jesus saying that to you this morning? I know what you seek. I know what you seek. I know your heart. Angel says, he's not here. He's risen. Remember, he said he was going to do it, and he has. Come on in, take a look around, go tell the disciples. And so then we look at the angel's declaration and reaction. Look at the women's reaction in verse 8 again. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. With fear and great joy, they ran to the disciples. So when the ladies see this, and remember, they had been crushed. They were actually at the cross watching their beloved Jesus die. They are the ones whose hopes had been crushed so deeply, but they were brave enough to say, let's go and put spices on the body and just do what needs to be done for the true burial. And so they come, and the guard's there, and they're like, who's going to roll the stone away? We don't know. Let's just go. And this is not what they expected. And when they hear the words of the angel, when they see the tomb is empty, it is a fearful thing. But it says with fear and great joy, they run and tell the disciples. And I love this in verse 9 and 10, with my holy imagination, Jesus, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And this is the continual theme. Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's okay. Don't be afraid. And I love this part. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus said, go and tell my brother. He could have said anything. He said, go and tell the wretched disciples who bailed on me. Go and tell those knuckleheads. What does he say? He says, go and tell my brothers. The tenderness of heart. And I speak to you today. Maybe you haven't thought about God in a long time. Maybe you think, I'm the biggest wretch in the world. But if you've come to Christ, can you imagine that Jesus says, my brother, my sister, you're mine. I want you to have life. I want you to flourish. You falling your own way is only going to lead to destruction and heartache and damaging of your soul and others, but come to me, my brother, my sister. And that's the good news of the gospel. Even as Whitney read and spoke over us with that proclamation, the power of it, sin has been paid for. It is finished. Remember what he said on the cross, tetelestai, paid in full. Not paid mostly, paid in part, paid in full. This is our Jesus. And I want to close with this thought, with thinking about this week about resurrection power. How does it affect our lives? And I thought immediately about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1. This is a mature Paul. And see if this is my favorite passage. So if you're around me a lot, I mention it at least a few times a year. But in 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul is saying this: we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. And listen to this: we were under such great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, that we despaired unto life. Some authors believe that Paul was even suicidal at that point because it was so intense. But listen to what God had in plan, what God had in mind. Verse 9, indeed, we felt we received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. But this happened so we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This is the resurrection power. In the Christian life, and what I've been working even with my therapist on, is expectations. And he asked me this week, well, what are your expectations in this, this, and this? And I said, well, I expect it to be bad. I expect it to be hard. I expect it to be messy. And I started laughing about it because usually expectations are like, I expect it to be amazing. And then you get disappointed. But I was interested in thinking like, why was that my first reaction? And thinking about how we suffer in life and we expect, when is the shoe going to drop? When's everything going to fall apart? When am I going to be abandoned again? And when I think about resurrection power in my life, it's, I need some resurrection power with hope. With hope. And saying, like, I want, it's interesting, I'm a hopeful person for other people usually, but not for myself. I'm a hopeful person for my family, but not for myself. And I need resurrection power there. And it's not, typically, I think God could come in, boom, healed, rock and roll. He does that sometimes. I've heard stories. I believe it. But I think 99 point something percent of us, it's the gradual walk. And even that is left there as a reminder to say, wow, that's my immediate reaction, but I want to turn in faith. That's my immediate reaction, but I want to say, Lord, help me live another way. That's the pathway, and the neurons and the synapses and all that stuff in my brain is going. It's just the path that has been taken so long, but I want to see it interrupted and say, Lord, I want to go to you. I want to have hope. And we need each other to do that. So worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Come and see. Go and tell. We celebrate every week with communion. If you're here and you're a believer in Christ, I'd invite you to come and grab one of these in just a moment after I pray. You can take it back to your seat and you can wait because we'll take it all together. There's two flaps. The first flap is a piece of bread. The second flap is juice. If you need some gluten-free bread, we have some gluten-free bread here as well, and you can just grab one of these and the gluten-free bread. But we grab these and we partake in this together as a family to be reminded all that Jesus has done, everything that we've just talked about. But it's also to be reminded that Jesus is here. He's present with us now. Resurrection power is available now. It's also reminding us that he's coming again. He's coming again. So we have hope and we have assurance of that. So I invite you after I pray to come and we'll partake of this together. Let's pray.